fans, subscribers, and anyone checking out this interview. It's another edition of One on One with John Alba, and it's a very, very exciting one. I'm going to introduce you to our guest in just a moment, but I just want to say how appreciative I am of all the enthusiasm we've seen for the show so far, from Josh Alexander to Daniel Garcia to Danny Limelight to our debut female last week, Ashley Vox, and now to Willow Nightingale. She's lighting up the independent scene. She's working everywhere, and now she's going one-on-one with John Alba here on Ad-Free Shows. Don't forget, you can check out every single episode in the archive, adfreeshows.com. You get early access on Thursday, and then AFS on YouTube.com drops every single Saturday. And we're here now on episode 5 with Willow Nightingale. Willow, how are you right now? You've been traveling everywhere, and you're just trying to keep sane, huh?
Yeah, I mean, my voice might be like a little hoarse, but all in all, I'm doing pretty well. Any kind of like exhaustion I go through is also met with like a lot of rewarding moments and like satisfaction and excitement. So it's all really worth it in the end.
Well, what is so infectious about you, and I have learned this from watching your matches and watching interviews you've done, your promos, is you have enthusiasm that radiates. And I can't wait to dive into that, because I think that that is what allows audiences to connect with you. And I think that's what our Ad-Free Show subscribers are going to connect with as well. You've made your trek around everywhere. You have worked everywhere seemingly over the course of the past year coming out of this pandemic. But I want to know, when the industry is held up by this pandemic and there's so much negativity, how do you keep that vibrance and positivity?
I honestly think I'm just really fortunate in the fact that I have a very like close-knit family, and like my mother and my father have always been super positive people. So it's been ingrained in me since I was a child. So that helps a lot, just to like, one, naturally kind of be brought up into a household like that, but two, also continue having them as my guiding light now at this point in my life. So even when I'm feeling down, they're like, come on, like, you know who you are.
We often hear that pro wrestling characters are your authentic self turned up to 11.
Yes.
Did you incorporate that positivity intentionally, or is it just naturally vibrate for you?
When I first started wrestling, I actually very much wanted to be more like a bad guy and like, just kind of like, you know, like talk smack and like have this like real brash attitude about me. But like, that's it, like, was so inauthentic. And like, it felt like I was trying to be like fake it till you make it, but like, I never made it. So then my home promotion, NYWC, was like, we're going to have you do this match as babyface. And I did that, and they were like, whoa, that's way more natural fit. And then slowly but surely, I just kind of started adding more elements of myself and like all the quirks and idiosyncrasies that like I truly do have and like how I behave. And people kind of started getting behind me. And the best piece of advice I got that really kind of helped all of that come together was like, people have fun watching you have fun. And I was like, that makes sense. So then I kind of would just be like, let my anxieties off to the side and just be me and have fun, because I love wrestling and I am fortunate to be able to do it. And then all of it fell into place. And over time, I got to kind of hone into it more and like really elevate whatever my character was, or like evolve into a different person, because wrestling changes you. But more or less, I guess that enthusiasm and brightness has always been at the core of who I am.
Ashley Vox and I were talking about it during her appearance here on One on One, which again, you can check out in the archives at freeshows.com and AFS on YouTube.com, about how difficult it is to be a babyface in today's culture, where it's so easy to want to be a naturally cool heel and strut your stuff like the NWO. But there's something truly special about connecting with an audience as a babyface. Has it made your experience in pro wrestling any more gratifying?
I personally think it has, because a lot of the time I connect with younger audiences. A lot of children will come up to me and like speak to me about how I've inspired them. And like, to think that someone who's still kind of like shaping their view of the world, shaping their opinion of professional wrestling even, and like positively impact them or like make them feel more confident in their natural hair or in their body size or whatever, like any of those things about me that someone else might consider like a flaw or like undesirable. And they see that in me with such like, I guess, positivity, because I'm so much just like, I've learned to love myself through wrestling. I can help teach other people, like, you can love yourself too for like whoever you are or whatever you are. So there's like great gratification to me being able to connect to like younger people in that way.
I had an idea of where I wanted to go with this, but you just said something there that really struck me, and it's the journey of learning to love yourself. That's something that I think a lot of people struggle with. It's something I struggle with. It's something that everyone at some point in their life probably has to confront. If you don't mind opening up about that, I'd love to hear more about that. What was that journey of self-discovery like for you? And at what point did it become apparent of this is who I am and I'm going to embrace that?
Well, I definitely think I'm still on that journey. I don't necessarily know that there's any point where a person can be 100% happy with who they are all the time. Especially in wrestling, there's like constantly comparing yourself to others, which I try very hard not to do. But me as a person outside of wrestling, I was always very insecure. I wouldn't say I'm shy, but I am pretty reserved. So if you weren't somebody I was like comfortable with already, I would have a very hard time opening up to you. And obviously in wrestling, you have to break out of your shell. You really are not going to get anywhere if you can't like let people in on who you are. So one, it kind of helped break me out of my shell in terms of like meeting new people and having to instantly make some sort of rapport with them. And then on a different standpoint, wrestlers are people I've always admired because I've always loved wrestling. So the moment that I started like training and they were like, wow, you're actually pretty athletic, like you kind of take to this naturally, that was like a second level of like, oh, I am worthy of becoming a professional wrestler because I have the skill to back it up. And then obviously hard work, dedication, like all that stuff that everybody says is like, I've worked so hard for this. And like being able to see the rewards of that has truly been like, I did this myself. Like nobody handed this to me. I've had to work very hard for this. And like, sure, there were points where I just got lucky. I was in the right place at the right time, or I met the right person. But like, I put myself in those situations very intentionally. And I've really just been myself, like, again, authenticity, true to myself the whole way through. And being able to kind of have that reflected back at me, like, oh, people admire me for whatever different reasons, is kind of made me confront like, oh, there's something here that's cool. And just getting to do what I love is also like, it's great. And like, it really helps my connection with myself.
You stand out a lot. You look different. And I think that's important in pro wrestling, is identifying something within yourself that allows you to stand out and be something that people haven't seen before. And you've had journeys across AEW, MLW, Ring of Honor, Shimmer, everywhere. And it's taking you all over the world. And that's very exciting to see. And I want to bring that whole idea of standing out full circle here, because you and I actually have a lot in common. We grew up in similar areas. We're both Aquariuses. You're January 25th, is that correct?
Correct.
I'm the 26th, okay?
Oh, awesome.
So we're basically the same person, obviously. That's how it works.
That's how horoscopes work, exactly.
Yes, exactly. So, but you grew up on Long Island, correct?
Correct, yes.
I'm a Jersey guy, and it's funny because I've talked to so many wrestlers who have come from that region, and everyone has similarities spread across their upbringing in that area. And we grew up in the same era of pro wrestling, where I would have to imagine, because we talk about nostalgia here on ad-free shows all the time, the likes of Trish Stratus and Lita are probably the types that you're watching growing up, no?
Absolutely. Yes. I remember like being a child and like the woman segment for the show was like a Playboy cover reveal, which is cool. Like, I'm all about like women empowerment in whatever way that services you, right? Like, if that is something that empowers you, that is great. But me being a child looking at that and like always being a chubby kid, I was like, if I'm going to be a wrestler, like that's how I have to look, or like these are the kinds of things that I have to do. And like, that just like, not at any point in my life has that ever felt like me. So yes, it was a concern when I first started wrestling my size. But through training, I've also kind of been like, oh, like I'm able to physically use my body as a weapon, like use my weight or my size to my advantage. And I also think it's really fun to kind of like surprise people when they're like, oh, like maybe they'll look at me and their first judgment would be that I'm very slow. And it's like, actually, I'm pretty agile. I can like jump around the ring. I can like do flips and stuff like that, as well as like pick people up and drop them. So that's really cool. Hopefully I can help carve out more space for people like that, who don't feel like their body types are seen in wrestling. I feel like right now is a time where women's wrestling is actually rather diverse. I don't think there's one particular body type that is like the right way to look. I think as long as you can back up whatever you're doing with your work in the ring, people are finally kind of getting equal opportunities based off of that.
I'm curious, what do you credit that to? Where does that change of mentality come from? Because it's not that long ago that we're still seeing model type women on the biggest stage week in and week out. So when does that change happen, and how does it translate over to the independent scene and to some of these other promotions?
So personally, I feel like I started training at the time when that transition was just beginning to happen. And in terms of my peers, I'm sure so many of them felt the same way that I did growing up, where they were like, I want women wrestlers to be wrestlers. So I know there were people like Deonna Purrazzo, Kylie Rae, and like, who were just like going in there to just be the best that they can and like try and help change the perception of women's wrestling. So now we've got this kind of like crop of talent coming up with the same mentality. And then around this time, we see women in the independents kind of start to dip their fingers elsewhere. Sarah Del Rey, for example, is a huge inspiration to me, often regarded one of the best women wrestlers of all time. She starts working at the Performance Center, really pushing the limits on what women were believed to do, or like able to show, at least, you know. I think the ability to do it was always there, but she pushed for it to be shown and displayed. And then you're kind of seeing it on the main stage. And then when people are seeing it on a main stage, the indies are like, oh, well, we have that. We will show it. And there's a lot of like women's wrestling shows popping up, or like, even if it's just a one-off women's wrestling event for companies, that kind of becomes the trend. And there are some places that really believe that and like push that mission, not just as a trend, but because there are so many more people who now fully believe that. So I'm super stoked about it.
When did that acceptance, that internal acceptance come, that it's okay, I don't have to look like Trish Stratus, I don't have to look like Lita?
I mean, I guess there's still some times when I wish I did, where I feel like things could be a lot easier if I did kind of fit into like whatever box I think I'm supposed to. But then I kind of realized like whatever opportunities I was getting was because I stood out, and it didn't have to be like a bad thing to stand out. So I just kind of rolled with it. And again, that was a big part of the journey, right? Like, oh, I guess this is working. This is cool. This is something I've always had. And now I'm just kind of learning that it's all beneficial to me as much as it is just who I am.
And you mentioned that you do have the ability to pull out some high flying moves and flips. And what I love about watching you is I think you are a great live event performer. And what I mean by that is, you're the type of pro wrestler that on the surface, you look like you offer something. And then when people see you in person, they go, wow, I wasn't expecting that. Or wow, that's different. Have you been cognizant of that as you've developed your in-ring skill set over the years? And have you leaned into that in any sense?
I'm cognizant of it for sure, but I don't think that it was necessarily intentional to surprise people.
Sure.
I think I wrestle in a way that I enjoy watching. Like, I push myself to, like, try to be the ideal wrestler that I would want to see.
Which is what?
Somebody who is entertaining, impactful, but also maybe has a little bit of finesse to them. So impactful would come from like any intensity that you see or my powerhouse things. Also naturally, it would make sense for me to be a powerhouse as a bigger person. But then the finesse would come in if I can do like a moonsault, for example, or if I learn a fancy pin or like a cool chain thing, I want to throw that in and be like, I'm very skilled, like, you know, being well-rounded in that sense. And again, theatricality has always been like one of the things that drew me to wrestling. I used to like do theater when I was in high school. So it just kind of is like all of those things coming together.
I have a bold prediction about you. And I apologize if it comes across as judging, but I feel very confident that I'm very spot on here in saying this, especially growing up watching Lita. You strike me as someone who was like very much into defending pop punk back in like high school and stuff like that. And
100%.
And you exude that energy. There's a radical innocence about that, if that makes sense at all.
No, that makes a lot of sense. I think pop punk in its at its core is kind of immature at times. Like, I'm a big Blink 182 fan.
Sure.
I think one of the things that was so helpful in them becoming successful was the immaturity and like people being able to like, haha, that's funny. And pop punk is a lot more upbeat and bright in comparison to just kind of like a classic punk. So naturally it's just what I liked. And again, growing up in the suburbs, it was everywhere.
You're going to Jones Beach and all that stuff.
Exactly.
Pro wrestling, especially right now on the independent scene, and even I would argue some of like MLW and all that, it has that pop punk feel. GCW right now, like it gives off that vibe that I feel like there's a culture to that you as a performer can lean into a little bit.
Absolutely. I think professional wrestling, especially independent wrestling, is very like DIY, do it yourself. And we're all our own managers. We all like travel, you know, wherever we got to go, we're on the road all the time. Personally, I make my own gear. I've designed a few of my own shirts. I try to be as like hands-on in the creation of who I am as much as I can. Obviously, if I'm not like super skilled at something I want done for my brand, I'll have someone else do it. But there's a lot of things that I am capable of doing. So do it myself. Very punk in nature, you know?
And it's also punk to get beat up a little bit and
yourself
off and get back up there, get back on that stage, crowd surf again.
And exactly. And
you've kind of had to do that. I mean, you've had your fair share of injuries. Everyone knows that pro wrestling is dangerous. I know you've had some severe knee injuries. I know you had neck surgery, if I'm not mistaken, as well.
Correct.
So at such a young age, you're 27 years old. How do you bring yourself to push through that? And why is it worth it for you to do that? What's the end goal?
That's a great question, isn't it? Because sometimes I feel a little cuckoo for still doing this. But like, there's this little voice in the back of my head that's just like, well, keep going, right? Like, you got this far. You're having a great time. Just keep going. And anytime I am hurt or like have to take time off, like there really is this kind of like emptiness. The first time I ever got injured, I was like really struggling with my identity. Cause like at this point I may have been wrestling for like 2 years and it was just like everything was professional wrestling. So to have it taken away from me so quickly was like, what, like, who am I? What do I like? What do I do outside of this? Like, the world stopped spinning. So that was with my knee surgery. But then when I had my neck injury, fortunately, I had kind of been able to find a bit of a better balance between my life outside of wrestling and wrestling. So I didn't have as much of that, like, I can't breathe without it kind of feeling. But I definitely feel like it helped me have a lot more confidence in a very odd way in myself, because I was a lot more secure in speaking to people, knowing the worth of my own life, if that makes any sense.
No, I'd like to hear a lot more about that. How does that come about? Where do you come upon that realization?
So when you are told that you could possibly be paralyzed or are very close to it.
What was the extent of the injury first?
I had widening between my C6 and C7 vertebrae.
Okay.
You have like three main columns down your spine. And I think two of those like ligaments or whatever were torn. And then basically I had like the one still together. And then If that had torn, I would have been paralyzed.
So they're telling you could have almost been paralyzed then what?
Yes. Mom definitely was not having a great time. So I don't know if it's because of the medication that they put me on or if it's just because I was like, so like, it's heavy, like that's heavy news. So I felt like the only way I could really kind of deal with that was to be like, I will process this later, but right now I just have to make sure like I get through this surgery and I'm okay. So like, it's everyone around me is crying and I'm just like, it's going to be all right, guys. And I'm making jokes like, will I ever be able to ride a roller coaster again? But then you get on the other side of it. And I was fortunate in that everything was okay. Everything went well. But then I also like really had this new, like profound respect for myself and my own body. Again, part of my journey of self-love, because I was very aware of how great it is to be able to move, right? And to just be like able-bodied, and like all the privilege and like, it's just so beautiful to be able to like stand up. And something so simple like that, I was like, cool, like I have to show respect to myself and not take all of this for granted. So now I'm going into every wrestling show and I'm like, I'm not just someone here who's like trying to get an opportunity. I have literally like put my life on the line for this and I'm still trying to get better. And if I don't feel that like I'm comfortable doing this show or I'm comfortable doing whatever, like I can say no. I have agency in my role in professional wrestling. So it did kind of give me confidence in both of those realms. One, like having that respect for my own body and like the movement of it. And two, like the respect for what I do within wrestling.
Has that approach,
if that explains it any further.
Sure. Has that approach helped you climb that mountain and get to these bigger companies that you've had a chance to showcase your skill set with?
I guess so. Because my philosophy has kind of always been like, honor my body and my chance to be able to wrestle again. And how do I do that? I honor it with my work in the ring. Because if I'm just kind of like coasting and like not trying to get better or really not thinking about the event that I went through, like it would have all been worth it for nothing. Like I would have done all that for nothing. So there is kind of this like tunnel vision that comes into play. It's like, well, everything like has to be better than last month. And you have to find a way to like one up it. And I think when you're kind of pushing yourself in that way and you're like putting the stakes higher for yourself, like you demand more and then people see that. Again, a lot of it is fortunate in being the right place, right time. But those are definitely pieces of it that help push me there.
Everything in life is about being in the right place at the right
time.
Exactly. But it is about how you get to that right place in the first place, right? I think What everything you're saying will resonate with a lot of people, because even though people may not be doing it to the extent that you are on the platform that you are, we all have those hurdles that we have to overcome in life. And I think your positive attitude and approach to that is something that a lot of people can really learn from. And it's brought you, like I said, to places like AEW and MLW against, you just competed against our guest from last week, Ashley Box. What has those experiences been like in the past year where you're getting to work television matches for these big companies?
Definitely very rattling at first, because you set these goals for yourself and then you get so kind of caught up in the chase and the climb of it. And then sometimes it just feels really far away. And then it happens and then you're like, oh my God, I actually did it. And you're like, am I ready? And then there are all these kind of like questions of self-doubt, at least in my case, that kind of came up. But then you kind of got to get it all together and be like, no, I earned this. I work for this. I deserve to be here. And just kind of have those talks with yourself back and forth over and over. And it's been like a year of me just trying to like sit in everything and be like, I'm here right now. And a lot of the goals that I set out, I am achieving. So don't worry about what's next. Sit right here. Have fun. Take it in. Soak it in while it's here. Because everything in life is fleeting, whether that be the good or the bad. Like, this too shall pass. So definitely a little rattling at first, but I'm super happy and like grateful.
Yeah. Well, as we talk to you right now, you mentioned everything in life is fleeting. As we talk to you now, you're getting ready to do some Ring of Honor tapings. And we did get the news recently that Ring of Honor is going to do a little bit of a reboot here and take some time away. What's your reaction to that? Because Ring of Honor, especially, I thought they did such a great job at showcasing women's wrestling in the last year and giving some really good opportunities for people like yourself. And what do you hope comes from a situation like that?
So I personally am hoping that this is just like exactly what they say it is, right? Like, we will do whatever we have for the end of the year and then we'll just kind of reset and start up again. Like, to me, that's very exciting. The landscape of professional wrestling has changed so much since the time that Ring of Honor started, like, incredibly, since its inception. And I think they did a fantastic job through the pandemic, kind of like navigating that. But maybe it is time to kind of like reset, think about where professional wrestling is heading because it's changed so much in especially recent years. And hopefully women's wrestling will still be a big part of that. I'm really fortunate to have started wrestling at Ring of Honor when I did, because I think Maria has done a great job with the roster that she's assembled. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a part of it. I really just feel like of all the people I've seen in charge of the women's division there, this is like the perfect fit for me. So hopefully we'll pick up right where we left off.
Well, and that's it. You evaluate and see where can we get better. And I'm going to ask you a question I also asked Ashley Vox, because I think it's relevant to our topic of conversation here. What is an area that pro wrestling can get better at when it comes to women's wrestling?
So I think bear with me.
And it doesn't have to be one company specific or anything like that. Just in a general sense.
So I was having a conversation with a friend yesterday who identifies as non-binary. And now that we're kind of seeing more non-binary and gender fluid performers come out and identify as such, there really is that question of like, Where would they fit into all of this? Is women's wrestling its own thing? Is men's wrestling its own thing? Is there a plus for people who don't conform to those boxes? So do we need to have separate divisions? Like, does women's wrestling need to be women's wrestling? Like, should wrestling just be wrestling? I don't know that I have the answer to that, but I really feel like there's something to that. That's like, that is the next step. That's how we progress. We try to find a way to be as inclusive as possible for everyone, and stop viewing women's wrestling as something different.
What's your approach to intergender wrestling in that sense? Because I know you've competed in plenty of intergender matches.
Yeah. So I have always felt really empowered by intergender wrestling. I have always enjoyed watching it. So when I approach it from a performance standpoint, I just look at my opponent as basically someone who is my opponent. Different builds, like there are men that I am bigger than, there are men that I'm smaller than. The same thing happens when I wrestle women or any gender non-conforming folk. So my strategy doesn't really change so much if it's a man I'm wrestling. It's more so about body types or their type of wrestling, like their strengths and weaknesses. How do I attack those? So that's really how I view it. It's just wrestling.
Everything's wrestling. I think that's a really positive outlook on that, because that is a topic of contention for some people too. We see some major promotions, just they want nothing to do with that. And I'll admit, it's something that I wasn't entirely on board with for a long time until I really got ingrained in the independent scene and seeing how women's performers especially are positioned in regards to a lot of male performers and working in intergender feuds. I think the independent scene does a really good job at empowering women. And especially with all the streaming options we have now, there's a chance for you to showcase that on a much bigger stage. Do you feel like with that ability, having more access publicly, that there can be a shift in mentality of how we view things like this?
I think so. I mean, if there's more opportunity for women wrestlers, non-binary wrestlers, based on whoever they're wrestling, right? Like if we could just mix it up in whatever, obviously there's going to be more opportunities for different matches and more spotlights on that. So yeah, I think more of it.
All for it. Well, yeah. I was watching some other interviews with you, and a topic of conversation that I can see you're really very well informed on is representation in pro wrestling, mm-hmm. not just from gender, but also we're seeing more Black representation, POC representation in pro wrestling right now. What has the last year been like being ingrained in the wrestling scene and kind of seeing how things are slightly, and if not so slightly, pretty momentously changing in that arena?
So I think there's been a little bit of a pop-up in terms of like Black wrestlers shows, you know, queer fronted shows. Again, women's wrestling, it's kind of had a longer moment of being like, we're going to push for this. But these are really the kind of the things that we're seeing people try to get behind and grow now. I think it's great that there are moments where we can put the spotlight on these athletes, because so often Black wrestlers or queer wrestlers get othered, right? Like you will get a match with gay wrestlers in June, and that's it. And that's all that you're good for. But that's not the case, because we're seeing these shows like Effie's Big Gay Brunch, for example, and so many eyeballs are on it. And not only are there like so many wrestling fans who are into it, but it really does kind of help draw in new eyes. If there are people who have been turned away from wrestling before because they haven't been able to see themselves in it and they don't see themselves represented, this is like the chance for them to be like, oh, there's something here. Like I see myself, like there is a space for me here. Same thing with Black wrestlers, Black Wrestlers Matter. AJ Gray kind of helped with the For the Culture shows, like helped create those. So same thing, if people are seeing themselves in wrestling, they're going to be more interested in it. So it's great that they're out there. I would love to see it seep more into all wrestling shows and not have to be like, I need to fill a quota. Again, same thing with women's wrestling. It shouldn't be just about filling a quota. It's just like wrestling is wrestling. And sometimes you don't realize it because you might have your own like internalized misogyny, your own internalized racism, your own internalized homophobia. There are all these things that we're taught from the time we're children. Like this is how this thing has to be. And even though you can say to yourself, oh, but like this person also is a wrestler and this person is also a wrestler. If you are so used to seeing like white male faces all the time, you're going to think that that's what a star is, because those are the only stars you've ever known before. You have to go out of your way at first to kind of break people out of that way of thinking in order to see growth in the future. So while it might be a little, some people might feel that it's forced, like we're kind of forcing all these marginalized groups down your throat, it's just because it's what you're not used to. And hopefully soon enough, it'll just be like, wrestling is wrestling.
Well, I was going to ask, because right now, WWE has very clearly, in my opinion, made a conscious effort to showcase POC, especially Black wrestlers in prominent positions here. Big E, as we tape this, is the WWE champion. Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks main evented WrestleMania. And you always see people on Twitter who are like, why does it matter what color they are? It just matters how good they are. Does it matter, in your opinion? And why or why not does it matter that this representation is occurring?
I think it absolutely does matter. Because of course, like in the grand scheme of the world, like is becoming a professional wrestler the most important or the most life-changing thing you can do for other people? Maybe not, but I would say that like someone, a child can see that and recognize that there is someone out there who looks like them and was able to accomplish their dreams. And this can be inspiring in so many other fields and give them confidence. And these are all tools that help people succeed. So again, professional wrestling might seem trivial to some, but like we are really inspiring people in ways that we don't even recognize sometimes. So yes, having Black champions can help Black people as a whole, really. And maybe that seems crazy and far-fetched to say, but I think to deny that is maybe a little neglectful of how powerful performance can be.
It's really, you just said powerful. I think it's powerful hearing stuff like that, because I always try to be a pretty empathetic person. I try to put myself in the shoes of other individuals and see how might something affect them, how might they feel. But it is sometimes impossible for me to do that just because I don't have a full understanding of what some people have had to encounter or what some people have had to go through. And I do think we're seeing a bit of a renaissance where people are being more cognitive of that. And I think we are seeing a time period where wrestling can be this underground, hey, let's set a foundation here that others can learn from, example from. The experiences that you have on the independent scene, working in front of crowds and seeing how more generally accepting and infusing they are to your performance, what has that been like for you in the past few years as it has coincided with this little renaissance that we're talking about here?
I mean, I've been told earlier on in my career, like, we can't book you because we already have a Black woman on the show, or like stuff like that.
Wow. Really? You've been told that directly?
Yes. I've had like, I mean, again, all wrestlers get hate messages, sure, unfortunately. But I've definitely had messages directly targeting my race or directly targeting my weight. And I see, again, that's the negative side of it. But lately, I've been seeing a lot more positive. A lot of people, again, coming to me with stories of like, I see myself in you and I'm able to feel better or like be proud of this. I think that says something. That says something that obviously, like, now that we are kind of trying to change it, like people are responding. And like wrestling needs more eyes on it. Like right now, wrestling kind of is having a renaissance altogether. Like it's on the up. We've got more people watching wrestling than we have in the past couple of years. And I don't think that's a coincidence that like as more representation and diversity is added to it, that more people are tuning in.
I want to bring this full circle as we wrap things up here. You grew up watching the Litas and the Trish Stratuses and identifying with them, but not being able to see yourself in them. And then you just said to me that you have fans coming up to you and saying that they identify with you and that they take inspiration from you. How special is that for you as someone who preaches that positivity and that vibrance on this wrestling journey that you've had?
Honestly, this is something that maybe just hit me right now, or like while we're having this conversation.
There was a very good visual of your face when I said that. So,
but I kind of mentioned earlier how, like, during my injuries, I've always had this little voice in the back of my head that's like, keep wrestling, just keep doing it. Because for me, like, the act of wrestling, like the physicality of it, is something that makes my heart beat and soar, and like, I love doing this. But all of this extra stuff that comes with it, the implications of kind of having a public platform, are not something that I necessarily went out and tried to do. But as I have seen the impact I can make on people, I have really tried to strive for those things. And maybe that is kind of the reason that I keep going, you know. Definitely a big part of it, of when I'm feeling really low and I'm feeling really cruddy, like, being able to connect with people, is ultimately what we're all doing here. So yeah, that's some cool stuff.
Gives you that little energizer bunny proponent. Just keep going and going when you have to. And I think that's so awesome. I think it's so awesome. And as I said at the beginning of this interview, you radiate positivity. And man, listen, I'm someone who has struggled with a lot of mental health stuff. A lot of us have. And the lack of positivity that we see on social platforms can sometimes become overwhelming. So when you see someone on the independent scene or on TV radiating said positivity, it's a nice welcomed distraction. So I thank you, and I'm sure there are a lot of other people who thank you for radiating said positivity. And congratulations to you, number 57 on the PWI Women's 150 this year. Just
thank you.
That had to have been an incredible feeling.
Yeah, it's cool. I always say I just want this year to be better than last year. And if I was someone who put a lot of value in numbers and things like that, that would definitely be an indication that things are going better this year than last year. And yeah, it's an honor.
Well, I like to wrap up every interview that I do for One-on-One with John Alba on adfreeshows.com with this question, Willow Nightingale. What would you like people to take away from your journey? We've covered your journey a lot and many different aspects of it. So at the end of the day, what do you hope people can learn from it?
I just want for people to love themselves, even if they think they are too imperfect to love, that everyone is human and you deserve to enjoy the human experience to the fullest. Hopefully that somehow
that was very, very eloquent,
or I get beat up, it helps people recognize that.
No, I think that's a great mantra that people can live by. And I'm so appreciative of your time. I know you've been so busy and you've been traveling everywhere. It's great seeing you work in all these different places. You can catch her on Ring of Honor. You can catch her on MLW. She just got done with Shimmer's return, which is very exciting as well. Shimmer, another great platform for women's wrestling. And she's everywhere. Where can people follow you along?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Willow Wrestles. I'm toying with the idea of making a Twitch. So keep your eyes peeled for that, maybe.
Okay.
But yeah, Instagram and Twitter. That's usually where you can hear me say really random things.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure, and I wish you nothing but the best as you continue your personal and professional journey. And I'm so grateful that you stopped by One-on-One with John Alba here on adfreeshows.com. Remember, guys, you subscribe, you get these episodes early access every single Thursday afternoon, and then Saturday, AFS on youtube.com, access for everybody. Hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, because it doesn't just show me support. It doesn't just show Ad Free Show support. It also shows Willow Nightingale and all of our guests a little support as well. So thank you all for tuning in this week, and we'll see you next time.